You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Late night. Midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. This is Michael Russo. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. If you're not an Athletic subscriber, well, what are you waiting for? Go to theathletic.com/straightfromthesource and you get in for $2 per month for 12 months. $2 a month for 12 months by going to theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Our guest today, not my guest today, our guest today, because Joe Smith will be joining this podcast momentarily, is Wild General Manager Bill Guerin. It's a good time to talk to him heading into the holiday break, but also the holiday trade freeze that's coming up on Monday, December 19th, that lasts to the 27th when the teams come back from their holiday break. So we'll be talking to Bill Guerin about a lot of things. We'll be talking about Sammy Walker and his impact the last couple days, last couple games coming up here. We'll be talking to him. The Wild, suddenly, if the cap only goes up $1 million, they have $15.5 million to spend this offseason as it sits right now. Remember, for a while, we thought that the cap could potentially go up $4 or $5 million. Now it looks like, according to Gary Bettman at the Board of Governors meeting, that it would only go up $1 million. And that's true. These are the players the Wild have pending as free agents, either restricted or unrestricted next year. That's Matt Boldy, Freddie Goudreau, Mason Shaw, Brandon Duham, Ryan Reeves, Kalen Addison, Matt Dumba, Philip Gustafson, Sam Steele. Well, good luck with all that. This is why the Wild weren't able to sign Kevin Fiala. This is why they almost certainly can't go out and acquire Brock Besser. They are going to have to get Matt Boldy under contract. You know they're re-signing Freddie Goudreau. Mason Shaw is definitely going to be back. Kalen Addison is definitely going to be back. I would think Philip Gustafson would be back, especially the way that guy is playing right now. He looks like a very viable backup. So the ones that might be redundant, we'll see. Brandon Duham is somebody that they love. They're going to want to re-sign. It could be cost there. Ryan Reeves very much could be redundant. We'll see. You know, he just, unless he's going to take little money, you know, it very much could be like a Nick Delorier situation last summer where the Wild wanted to bring him back, but just couldn't afford what Philadelphia gave him in terms of term and money. So that could be affect them bringing back Ryan Reeves, even though you know Bill Guerin loves him. This is why I just don't think that they can or will afford Matt Dumba. I think that they're either going to trade him or he's going to go to free agency. And then Sam Steele. Sam Steele's the one guy that, as much as he's played well and has added something to the first line, unless he's coming back on the cheap, it might make sense for them to look at a Rossi or some other guys in the minors to take that position, but we'll see. The other thing is Ryan Hartman, as I currently record this, is skating with Darby Hendrickson on the ice. And I started to get word yesterday during the game and before the game that Ryan Hartman wanted to return Friday night against the Chicago Blackhawks and was going to return Friday night against the Chicago Blackhawks. So started sniffing around and was able to second and third source that. And it shocked me because the Wild haven't had a practice since Ryan Hartman's been back on the ice. They've had two morning skates and he's been skating a ton with the assistant coaches. But this is a guy that hasn't been back since October 30th. And I just thought that was a little weird that he would potentially play Friday without a full practice with his team where they're doing constant drills and bumping and all that stuff. But alas, I asked Dean Evason in the post-game press conference last night after the Wild beat Detroit whether Hartman could play on Friday. And he said very much yes, that they had just met with him and they told him, if you're ready to play, we'll let you play as long as the doctors say yes. So we could see Hartman back in the lineup, which means that Sammy Walker, unless there's suddenly an injury or a sickness, is going to come out of the lineup. I mean, there's no choice, right? Unless you're pulling Sam Steele from the lineup, maybe, but I don't think you're changing the fourth line with Reeves, Durer, and Shaw. Durer and Shaw are the best penalty killers on the team, and Reeves, we saw his impact last night against Detroit, which we'll talk about a little more here in a second. You're not changing up the Erickson-Ek line. Hartman's either going between Kaprizov or Zuccarello, or you're going to put him on the line with Goudreau and Boldy. And so if that happens, you know Steele's staying in the lineup. Now, if Hartman goes back to his top line, do you keep Sammy Walker with Matt Boldy and Freddie Goudreau, or do you put Sam Steele there? I would like to see what Sam Steele and that skill could do with a Matt Boldy. But we'll see. Maybe they ease Ryan Hartman back in, play him with Boldy, and then eventually get him back to that top line role. He needs to go back to the top line. I mean, this, like, I just don't understand why people are forgetting that this guy scored 33 even strength goals last season. 33 of his 34 goals were even strength. What is the biggest problem with the Wild right now? It is 5-on-5 play. What is the biggest problem with Zuccarello and Kaprizov right now? It's 5-on-5 production. They're getting most of their points on the power play. Ryan Hartman needs to go back to that line, period. Like, I don't know. This is one I can rant about forever. It's amazing me. I mean, there are people on Twitter that are telling me that Ryan Hartman should be scratched for Sammy Walker. Let's all take a deep breath, time out, and remember how good and impactful player Ryan Hartman was on this team last year and how much he has been missed the last 6-7 weeks. Team has won 9 of their last 12, though. They've won 3 in a row in regulation for the first time this year. They've won 7 of their last 8 at home, and they have a lot of winnable games coming up before the Christmas break. Chicago Blackhawks on a second of back-to-back come in town on Friday night, and then the Ottawa Senators come in town on Sunday afternoon, and then the Wild go to Anaheim, which by far is the worst team in the league. 1 regulation win in 30 games this season. They go to there to play there, and the Wild usually win in Anaheim, and then they play San Jose on the second of back-to-back, which will probably be the toughest game in this stretch. So Wild really have a chance to win. I don't want to say win out here, but they do. I mean, these are games that you want to peel off points with and make up for some of the losses that you had earlier in the season. So we'll talk to Bill Guerin all about that stuff on who comes out and things like that. I have a lot of questions too from Twitter people. But you know what? A lot of those will be, I'm going to be doing a Worst Seats in the House podcast with Anthony LaPanta on Friday. And then we got great, great questions on Twitter the other day from readers when I put it out before we had to unfortunately postpone the podcast that was going to be live at Split Rock. So those questions I'll throw on that podcast, and they're everything. They're really good questions, including some about the Wild's reverse retros and whether or not the Wild would ever implement that color scheme into their real life, daily, revolving door of potential jerseys. And I have a new opinion on that I want to share with you, and I'll do that on the Worst Seats in the House. Let's talk about the Detroit game. Obviously, the hot button topic was Ryan Reeves' hit on Filip Hronek. Scary, scary incident happened just 3 minutes into Thursday night's game. And as usual, when something like that happens, people see it through their own lens of the team that they root for. So obviously, Detroit Red Wings fans all thought it was a dirty hit by a goon and that he should be, thrown to the gulag and never play again or get a 5-game suspension or things like that. And Wild fans thought it was clean. Whether or not whatever your definition of clean is obviously subjective for everybody, but I can tell you that right when it happened and I looked at the replay, I knew that nothing was going to come of it from a league discipline standpoint. I tweeted that, and of course Red Wings fans called me the most biased reporter ever. The reality is that it's my job to interpret these hits, and I've covered these hits long enough to know how the league looks at them. This was a straight north-south hit on a player. When that happens, the only time that a head contact is called from a league discipline standpoint is if the player elevates into the head, picks the head as a target, or doesn't go through the guy as a clean body check. In this case, Ryan Reeves met all the thresholds for unavoidable head contact. He didn't charge him. He glided. He had his arms tucked at his side. He tried to go through his chest. He didn't elevate, didn't leave the ice, nothing. And the final factor in this is Hronek put himself in a vulnerable position with his posture. So when Hronek was staring at Ryan Reeves and then suddenly looked back behind him, that changed the entire play and the entire outcome of the play. If he is skating head on, Reeves probably goes chest on into him. And so I knew right away that this would be deemed under rule 48.1 unavoidable head contact. I tweeted that, and of course I'm the most biased reporter in the world in the eyes of the Detroit Red Wings fans, but in my opinion, my belief is, as a reporter, I'm supposed to explain to people what happened on the play and what's going to be the outcome. Today here I'm vindicated, because that's exactly what the league called. They basically called it a great hockey hit. And that's what it was. Unfortunate outcome, but this is not, you know, this is a fast game. This game is not played in slow motion. Ryan Reeves is skating on at him. They lock eyes, and then inexplicably the guy turns behind him. And at that point, he's committed into the hit and goes through him. I think one issue here, there are a couple things. One is, I believe that bad habits have been created in the National Hockey League because the league has done such a good job mostly eliminating head hits. And what I mean by that is that the league really dinged these guys years ago with big suspensions and got rid of all the Scott Stevens type plays and the Nicholas Cronwalls, by the way, who Red Wings fans used to romanticize, who used to actually on a weekly basis scramble brains. They did a great job sort of getting rid of this in the game. So one thing when this happens is why it happens so rarely that fans blow up on it and the media blows up on it, because they don't happen a lot. And they don't happen a lot because the league has done a good job legislating this stuff out of the game. So I think the league deserves a lot of kudos for that. But what it's also done is it's created a ton of bad habits on the ice. We see it with Kirill Kaprizov all the time. There are so many hospital passes that either he receives or gives, or he skates through the neutral zone with his head down with a guy coming at him from the side, where that guy just peels off because the league has gotten rid of these open ice hits. And because of that, guys just take for granted that they're not going to get hit in these positions. So here Hronek is coming up the middle of the defensive zone. It is any player, not just Ryan Reeves' job, when a guy is coming that recklessly out of the zone, to hit him, to separate him from the puck. That's what Reeves was trying to do there. I think Hronek took for granted that he wasn't going to be hit there because it's very rare. Usually guys just peel off, which also, by the way, drives me nuts because this is supposed to be a checking game. But you see it all the time. There are so many times that Kaprizov is skating through the neutral zone that I hold my breath because I think he's about to get absolutely crushed. And you see the guy literally hit the brakes and peel off the guy. And we see that over and over again, where years ago that wasn't the case. And it's because the league has done a good job getting rid of these plays. Well, I think Hronek here made a major mistake because he had to know Ryan Reeves was on the ice, because 10 seconds earlier, the two of them tangled in the neutral zone. So this is his job to know that, one, who you're out there against, but two, not to look behind you. Now, Derek Lalonde, the Detroit Red Wings coach after the game, explained in his eyes what happened, because he wanted to know what Philip Hronek was thinking and why he left himself so exposed. And Hronek told the coach, Derek Lalonde, that he thought there was a delayed penalty, so he's looking behind him to see if Hellberg, the goalie, was going to the bench for an extra attacker. That now suddenly makes a lot more sense on why he suddenly looked behind him. Maybe he even thought that Reeves was the one getting the initial penalty for their little tussle in the neutral zone, and maybe he thought it was a delayed penalty from that and just got confused. And unfortunately, he left himself exposed. He was vulnerable, and he unfortunately took the brunt of it. The good news is that during the game, he wanted to come back, and the Detroit Red Wings actually didn't have their doctor there, but Derek Lalonde said the Wild doctors advised them not to let him play, and the trainers for the Detroit Red Wings abided by that. But the good news is that he felt good enough to want to come back. Now, obviously, if it's a concussion, I know enough about concussions to know that it's always how you feel the next day and the next day and the next day. I think we're seeing that probably with Brandon Duhaime even right now. Right now, let's just hope the kid is okay. But trust me, I get, like, Red Wings fans were out of their minds angry last night with the hit. That would happen if any Wild player got hit like that. Wild fans would be the same exact way, whether it was the same, in my eyes, a good hockey hit or not. So I don't blame Red Wings fans for that. But man, did they get a little out of control last night and beyond. beyond mean, beyond nasty. So anyway, but Bill Guerin's coming on. We're going to talk to him about a bunch of this stuff. Again, Wild playing really well. Philip Gustafson playing really, really well right now in his last eight games. He's 6-1-1, and in six of those games, he's given up two goals or fewer. He has one of the best save percentages and goals against averages in the NHL since mid-November. So playing really well, and I'm sure it wouldn't shock me if he'll get one of these next two games against Chicago and Ottawa. It'll be interesting because do you play him against his home, the team he used to play for, Ottawa, on Sunday, or do you go with Fleury there? My guess is they would go with Fleury on Friday night because he's coming off a great game against Edmonton, and plus it's a division game, but we'll see. We'll see how they do that coming up here in the next little bit. I don't believe it was Gustafson that played in, I don't think it was Gustafson that played in Ottawa. So maybe they'll give him that chance, Gustafson, to play Ottawa on Sunday, the team he used to play for. But without further ado, Joe Smith and myself and Bill Guerin.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, as mentioned back here on Straight from the Source, returning champion. He's been on this podcast about 25 times, but also... joining me is my colleague here from The Athletic, Joe Smith. We're coming to you from a cigar club in downtown Minneapolis. We brought our muscle. I hired Lasty here as my bodyguard after the Detroit Red Wings fans like all threatened to kill me last night. Like, I was the one that hit Philip Hronek. Bill Guerin, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good that you brought the muscle.
Yeah. Lasty's pretty intimidating, don't you think?
He is. Yeah. He is. Goes about his job quietly. Yes. Walks softly, carry a big stick. Yeah.
Is that the quiet ones, right?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Bill, the last time that you and I talked, we were in Montreal. It wasn't a podcast, but, you know, the team got off to a little bit of a slow start. You basically said it's time to get going. And you got going right after that trip, hit a little bit of skids when injuries really caught up to you. And now here you are, you've won 9 of the last 12, 3 in a row in regulation, 7 of the last 8 at home. What do you think has changed?
Well, I do think health has played a big part in it. We've gotten some guys back. We're waiting on Hartsey and Dewey to get back as well. I think we're going to get Hartsey back a lot sooner, but health is a big part of it. You know, Greeny's back. I really think the guys have, the coaches have done a really good job of messaging and the guys have listened and really dialed in their individual games and their game as a team, as a unit. And, and the goaltending's been much better.
Obviously, you mentioned Hartman is another guy that everybody wants to know about. Hasn't played since October 30th in Chicago. He skated today on his own. Do you have any idea? Like, Dean says it's possible he could play tomorrow, right? And, like, where do you see him fitting in when he's back?
I'd see him more as a Sunday guy. I think, you know what, you can't take a guy that's been out of the lineup that long and just throw him in without having, like, full team practices and things like that. You got to make sure that he's ready to go. And, so if it's, we'll see. I think he'd be able to play tomorrow, but I don't know if that's going to be the case.
So you assume that they'll practice on Saturday? I mean, that was the one big thing today.
I assume, but who knows? This is a new league. I mean, there's barely any practice.
Yep,
I would have loved it.
Yeah. I know you're not the coach, obviously, but I know you discuss the lineup with the coaching staff all the time and give your two cents. Like, with Hartman... do you see him going right back to that top line, or do you feel like they're going to need to ease him in a bit? Because the one area that, you know, even Kaprizov and Zuccarello would say that 5-on-5, they're probably not producing as much as they want. And maybe, you know, Hartman, who had 33 even strength goals last year, could maybe bring that sort of demeanor back to that line.
Yeah, he could. I think, you know, and just talking to the coaches, I know there's a couple of different scenarios that they're looking at. I don't really want to, give that out, but I mean, that's definitely a possibility. Mm-hmm. But, Sam's done pretty well there also, and, probably deserves to stay there for a little while longer, but we've just got to find out what works best. And I, I think, you know, they'll tinker with a few things and see what works. You know, if, you know, Hartsy does come back this week, we've got to give it some time to just kind of to gel again. You know, when you put another guy in the lineup, it can kind of throw things off, but, throw things off in a good way.
I think the kind of assumption is that maybe Sammy Walker might be the odd man out if you guys are fully healthy. I guess, what did you learn about him that you didn't know about already watching him in the NHL for the first time? And maybe could he be a guy who sticks, or is he probably a guy who
that he can play? Yeah. He can play. Yeah. And you know, I just really like this kid. He brings, I saw him last night after the game. He just brings energy. He's just he's full of energy. He was excited to be in the game. He was, like, he's really just, it's what a young kid should look like when he's playing in his first, few NHL games. And he's had great composure. I mean, obviously his biggest asset's his speed, and, he definitely brought that. But when he held onto the puck and, he made some plays and, that's a really nice trait for a young player to have. So, even if he is the odd man out and he spends more time in Iowa this year, so be it. You know, he's done really well with his time down there, and he's made a big impact and earned his call up.
Yep, and probably maybe even first call up. With Duham, you mentioned Hartman's ahead of him. Do you even see Duham even coming back before Christmas break, or probably after?
I don't. I really don't. I think we just have to take it a little slower with him, and just it's. It's something where I think probably more after Christmas.
Right. Yeah. And obviously, if you're lucky enough to get healthy here, somebody's going to have to come out of the lineup. How difficult a decision will that be when you see, Sean, we saw Reese's impact last night. Yeah. Sean and Duehr have turned into two of your better penalty killers. Steele's been your number one center. We know what Hartman and Duham can do.
Yeah. This is a coach's and a GM's dream, mm-hmm. that you have to make tough decisions like this. And that means everybody's performing well at a high level. And, you have to make a tough decision, but it's so much better than, oh God, take this guy out. Like he's been brutal or whatever. Like that, this is what you want. And this is what it's all about. And the internal competition and things that drive you and you have to compete. And, our guys are doing it right now. So, somewhere down the line, we're going to have some really hard decisions, and that's part of it.
I guess, where does that leave, Marco Rossi in the conversation? I know, the whole idea, the plan was maybe to have him there for a little bit and get his confidence back, get some touches like that. Like, obviously, it's good you have all these healthy bodies where you don't have tough decisions, but where is he in the whole landscape of things? Is he going to be down there for a while then until there's an injury?
Or? Yeah, I mean, Marco, he's still very important. He's still in the mix. It's not... like we haven't forgotten about him, but you know what, he's got to go through the process, and it's not always easy. It doesn't always go super smooth, and that's okay. Sometimes when you travel down these rough roads, it makes you a little stronger, it makes you a little better, and you just have to work for it, and it's not just given to you. You really have to earn it, and Marco's. He's been up and down there, and he's just got to, when I say he's got to figure it out, like we're helping him figure it out, but he's really got to, figure it out on his own a bit too.
Yeah, I mean, what did you not see from him, and what do you want to see from him when he gets back up here? Because I know Sammy Walker is a couple years older, but he made his presence known immediately.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Assertiveness,
yeah,
playing like
some jam, some excitement, some fuck you in your game, that's what you need to survive in this league. It's not a league for the nicest guys. You can be a nice guy, you can be a great guy, but when there's games to be won and 50-50 battles and things like that, you have to have some jam to your game, and that's what we're looking for.
Speaking of jam and FU in your game, Ryan Reeves epitomizes that. Only had him for a few weeks or maybe a month now. Just what have you seen overall, behind the scenes too, about having that kind of personality in the room that kind of could be helpful down the
street? Yeah, he's just a big personality. I think he he raises the energy level, the intensity level, the confidence level. You know, he's a big personality. So at the same time as, you know, raising the compete and the energy and all that stuff, he keeps things very loose, which I like. And, you know, like, again, like he made his presence felt last night in the game, and he's been a contributor every night. And, you know, I think he's been a really, really good addition. I think the guys really like having him on the team.
Do you, you know, back in the old days, we saw players like Ryan Reeves all the time. They're obviously getting less and less. But a couple of the comments after last night's game really reminded me of covering the old NHL. One of your players said that you guys feel 6 feet taller on the ice. Matt Dumba said after the game, it's awfully quiet out there when not even when Reeves is just on the ice, but just having Reeves in the lineup. Well, I mean, do you buy that? I mean, you played the game for a long time. You played a hard-nosed game for a long time. Do you buy that theory actually exists? Is that when you are a player on the ice, do you feel that of Ryan Reeves, even if he's not maybe, you know, playing every shift, that he actually brings that sort of mentality to a lineup?
Yes. Yeah, I do believe in it. I mean, it's not what it used to be. I mean, there used to be, you know, four of those guys in the lineup on each side every night. And it was, yeah, you had to watch it. Like, and, you know, it's not what it used to be like, but it's still there. It's still hockey. And there's still, you know, there's still a physical aspect of the game. And, you know, things do get, you know, a little sideways some nights, like they did last night a bit. But, you know, I think, you know, whoever said that, I think you said Dumb said it.
Yeah, like, Dumb said it.
And the other true, one was, you know what? And, yep. And you know what? That's why he's here.
Yeah. The 6 feet taller, I won't say just because it was him and I shooting the breeze and technically yeah. Wasn't on the record.
6 feet tall right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would love to get just 6 feet tall as it is. you know, what do you think of the hit? Because it is, I mean, it's so interesting. Like, we used to see these hits all the time, and the league has done a really good job of getting them out. But the one thing I will say about Hronek there, and to Derek Lalonde's credit after the game, he basically put it on his player and wanted to know what he was thinking. And clearly there was probably a mistake in judgment. He thought that there was a delayed penalty, and that now makes maybe more sense why he was looking behind him. But it does seem like there are bad habits in today's game. Like years ago, you know, you could not put your head down in the middle of the ice. Right. You were going to get clocked. And I think that because these players now take for granted that they're not going to get hit, I mean, even Kaprizov at times will skate in the middle of the, you know, get a hospital pass or skate with his head down in the neutral zone, where I'll be like right away, somebody's about to come and I get all nervous and the guy peels off. It just seems like today's game, guys take for granted they're not going to get hit, they do what Hronek did. They will get hit though.
Yeah. And, you know, especially when I was doing player development, I would tell the young guys, don't expect somebody else to be responsible for your head. For your injuries, you have to take responsibility for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, Lalonde's comments were, I think they were bang on. You know, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. I thought it was a clean hit. It was hard. It was a little tough to figure out what he was thinking. But, you know, players, all players, not just Hronek. No, I mean, all players, you have to take responsibility sometimes for yourself. That's why I don't understand when defensemen go back facing the boards with their back turned to a guy, they know it's going to hit him. Yeah. And then they're like, I can't believe he hit me. Well, what'd you think he was going to do? Yeah. You know, you have to take responsibility for your own health. And you know what? Back, if I gave somebody a buddy pass up the middle, he wouldn't take it, or I wouldn't take it. And then you go back to the bench and whoever gave you the buddy pass, you'd give him shit. But you know, you also have to had to recognize if Scott Stevens or Brian Marchment or Kasparaitis or one of these guys were on the ice, you have to beware. Or Darian Hatcher or Eric Lindros, like you have to look out. They will crush you.
And that was the weirdest thing about that play, because Hronek and Reeves had just tussled in the neutral zone 10 seconds earlier. Like, he had to know he was out
there. Yeah, it was a weird play for sure. And you know what? I think the most important thing is that he gets healthy. And, and we can move on. The good thing about it was a clean hit. But you know, you just don't like seeing guys get hurt.
You just came from the Board of Governors meetings, and Bettman said the cap's going to go up probably about $1 million next year, unless there's a lot of things with the Canadian hockey teams, make it to the playoffs and maybe extend it. Like, that what you kind of expected, and like, how much of a headache will this be, I guess, for you going into next year? I don't know if you can get stuff done in advance, and so you have some cost certainty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're prepared for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you prepare for the worst, and we're prepared for it to go up $1 million. If it goes up $4 million, then we'll definitely be ready for that. Like, that would be great, but... you know, we're prepared for both scenarios, and we know what it'll look like, what we'll be able to do. And now it's really just a matter of, you know, the dollars and, you know, the escrow and all that stuff, and seeing what happens. There's really not much we can do, but watch and wait.
Has there any talks have been started yet with some of these guys that are like RFAs or so? Like, do you get started early on that, or is that something you have to kind of wait?
No, we're discussing a lot of it internally right now, and just kind of mapping it out. Like, there are different scenarios for different players and different personal circumstances that, you know, we all want to discuss. And, you know, although we make the decisions in hockey ops, we want to get the coach's feelings on certain players and things like that, because, you know, you want to see how far you go with guys, because Dean's going to be here, and, you know, if he likes a guy a lot, that's great. If he's not so keen on him, well, then we have to adjust our expectations. So, but we'll make the final calls on that. We're constantly preparing for the future.
So Freddie Goudreau, eight-year deal coming. Pretty coin. So you got $15.5 million. You got Boldy, Goudreau, Shaw, Duhaime, Reeves, Addison, Dumba, Gustafson, Steele. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. So if each guy takes $1 million, you could probably get it done. You're going to have to make tough decisions, right? I mean, this is a lot in a way. A lot like last summer, where you're going to have to maybe...
It's like last summer, the summer before.
Yeah.
The summer before that.
Yeah.
There's always tough decisions. Mm-hmm.
Matt Boldy, it's going to have to be a bridge deal, right? I mean, I don't see any other way.
I don't know.
Yeah. Is he going to take an eight-year deal at $3 million or something? like how's Those it not a bridge deal?
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, you know what? Like I said, we'll see. And we like to think we're going to make the decisions, but it's a two-way street. The guys mm-hmm. have to, you know, be in on this too. And you know, but I think we have a group of guys that really like to play here. And I think, you know, especially with when Ryan Hartman did, I'm not asking guys to take pay cuts all the time, but like when Ryan Hartman took that deal and sacrificed, you know, a couple bucks on the AAV and took the extra year because he knew he was in a good place for him personally. That proved to me that this is a really good place. This is a great place to play. It's a great place for the guys to live. They all like it here, and we want to keep them together.
So it happened in Tampa when I was there. Like, Stamkos took the hometown discount to stay in Tampa in 16. No one want to go above 8.5, so you have guys that's all, you know, pretty good deals. They'll be last the test of time here. How do you know when that culture is there? Or how do you, using that one guy, like a Hartman or like a Kaprizov, to take that one all of a sudden kind of filters down?
Yeah, well, I think we're seeing it now. I think Marcus could have probably got more in the open market at the time, but wanted to be here. You know, like I said, Hartsy, you know, Kirill really wanted to be here, and he took the 5 years instead of, you know, a shorter deal. I think this is a group of guys that just really like it here, and I think we're starting to see that.
Yeah. Part of the culture is if you can get rid of the state income tax, I might help on getting more hometown discounts like Stamkos.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
Let me ask you, like, about Dumba is the one that I think is always the hot button topic. I'm sure you're aware of that. We sat here last year, couple days after your interview on The Fan. How is he handling this right now, knowing that, you know, look, we just did the math. He's done the math. He's not stupid. That this could be it. I mean, how's he handling this internally? Have you had discussions with him?
Matt and I had a short discussion earlier on in the year. Mm-hmm. And we both know the situation. We don't have to BS each other and just, you know, we don't want to be on pins and needles. I don't want him to be on pins and needles. Just play. And, you know, it'll all work itself out in the end. You know, and I think maybe at the beginning of the year, maybe, and I'm assuming this is not anything I've heard, that maybe it was bothering him a little bit. And I think the last 6 weeks or month, whatever, I think he's really settled down and really played some good hockey.
I think the belief or thought was that, you know, you were looking for some top six help or for the deadline or a couple months away. And I don't know if some of the internal health things will answer that internally for you, but do you still, do you feel that way? Do you think if you're looking a couple months ahead, like if, as far as the needs for this team, if you want to go beyond where you went last year, that you would maybe need to bolster that position up front?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I would like that. I would probably like a little more scoring if we need it. You know, like I said, Hartsy coming back, if he can, you know, regain his scoring touch again, then we probably won't need it. But I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I think in order for us to go further, we just can't. It wasn't because we couldn't score, we couldn't do this. It's because we didn't play the right way in a critical time. And I think that's the main thing that our coaches and our players have been working on this year, is playing the right way in tough games, in tight games, and not just, you know, being too loosey-goosey. So I think that's more the thing for advancing rather than just players. Right.
For the, you know, when we talked, I can't remember when we did that scrum. What was the reason for that? I can't remember when we did the scrum upstairs. Oh, okay. When you we were talking about potentially Rossi going down.
Yeah.
And there you were transparent that you were potentially looking for a top six player. Would you say though it's dissipated a little bit now that you're have won 9 of 12, but two, you have almost too many forwards, as we just discussed here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, so it's definitely calmed down a bit. But again, like, I mean, you know how I always say it, if we can make the team better, we will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, that, like, and you have to be careful, because this is a team big on chemistry, big on working together, and you've got them. If we're going to do something like that, you know, you have to weigh it out. Like, who's going out? You know, mm-hmm. how big of an impact would that be? Who's coming in? What kind of guy are they? What kind of teammate? All that stuff. So you got to be really careful.
Right. You mentioned goaltending has been much, much better, especially Philip Gustafson. I mean, you know, early in the season, I'm like, oh boy. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. But suddenly, I mean, man, you know, I know you guys have insulated him a little bit, giving him probably the right opponents and things like that. But man, he just continues to come in and play really, really well. Does that, when it comes to Jesper Wallstedt, does that sort of now allow you to maybe overbake him if all of a sudden Gustafson looks like somebody that, hey, this guy's 20?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to take it year by year. And, you know, I think Gus has been fantastic. I even think even early in the year, you know, I just always go back to that Colorado game. He had the one bad bobble where you know, he could have attacked the puck a little bit more and kind of caught it in his gut. But then he, you know, it was a high stick by McDermott. It wasn't a high stick, but, you know, that rolled over his head. Then there was another bad bounce in that game,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but, like, then we lost to Detroit in Detroit, where he played phenomenal. We just couldn't score more than one goal. So he's even been better than his record shows. And I think he's been really good. I think Flower's been really good. I think Flower's probably helped him a lot. I think Freddie Shabbat's done a fantastic job with him. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we obviously love to see is our goalies playing well.
So yeah, Talbot's back this weekend with Ottawa, and I know your plan all along going into the summer was having him and Fleury together as kind of that tandem. It's worked out really well with Gustafson so far. When you look back at that time, as I know it's kind of like a 48-hour craziness, like you said, you had the change of heart. Like, you look back on things and, like, it was for the better, or like you look back on that time and like, you know, wonder what if, or is it just kind of one of those things where you
I really don't. I just put it in the rearview mirror and keep driving forward.
Got a couple of Twitter questions for you. Ryan wants to know just what is the biggest difference in the game today from when you're playing? And actually, these aren't Twitter questions. These are athletic commenters want to know.
Oh.
Where
do I begin?
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I would say the speed and the skill. Mm-hmm. Like, the game is so fast now. Like, mm-hmm. Just the speed of the game is incredible. And then what the players do with the puck in small areas, just the whole skill level is mm-hmm. just – I mean, the game is consistent, you know, through the years has gotten, you know, bigger, better, mm-hmm. stronger, faster, all that stuff. And it continues to do that. But the puck skills of the players are just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned on the cap, all I've heard for years is like, is it going to go up by like a huge amount in a few years, or that number is going to go up, you know, 10 million or whatever it might be. Is that like something you all as GMs expect that at some point, like eventually, like, you know, when the escrow gets paid off, like you'll have when you look 2 years down the road, a
steady climb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely do. And you know what? It's, you know, somebody asked me about like the baseball contracts and do you ever see yourself, could you ever walk into your owner and suggest giving $350 million to a player? I said, yes, absolutely. Because you can do that when the finances of the league say you can do that and you can afford it. And I think our league is healthier than ever. The revenues are better than ever, and they're going to continue to do it. And you know what? That's one of the things I love about being involved so much, like in going to the GM meetings, going to the board of governor meetings. You see the growth of the league and you know, in Gary's tenure, it's really incredible, and he deserves a ton of credit. It just keeps getting better and better. And so, yeah, I do expect when, you know, and like COVID was just such a crazy thing that halted our growth. But we're right back in the saddle, and it's just amazing.
It's amazing that actually you guys are right back in the saddle. Like, I don't know how the league survived during that whole time. Anthony,
it's a great game. It's a great product. We have unbelievable fans. People were starving for it. So, you know, you get back.
Anthony wants to know, it seems like Bill has no issue saying what's on his mind. Has he always been that way? Did he learn after years in the league or from a mentor? Or does he get a few drinks in before going on and doing interviews?
I've always just been like this. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't feel like, if I need to keep something quiet, I will. I mean, you know, like we've talked many times, and sometimes there are things where, like when we're talking, I'm not telling you something, but you know that like that's the relationship, that's the business. But you know what, when it comes to our team and what comes to what I'm thinking, you know, I always try to be respectful I've always been like that.
Bob Ryan once told me, who I'm sure you've read 1,000 times growing up in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
He once told me, he goes, always assume you're being lied to by the GM and never take it personally.
It was
a real great learning lesson because I remember, like, you know, over the years, I've covered so many GMs that if I caught them in a lie, I get so angry and take it like, oh, that was a personal affront to me. And you start to realize, hey, there's a reason why.
Yeah, no, honestly, if I need to keep something quiet, I will lie to your face.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at it. I'm not, but I will.
Bad poker face, right?
And I have to. And I have to.
Yeah.
You said what's kind of held you back after that first round was kind of playing the right way at the right time. And I think part of what Dean said, being harder on guys to hold the heater and being able to be ready for that moment. How do you know, like, you've won championship before. Like, how do you know when a team going into playoffs, you know, is ready for those kind of adverse moments that it will be different that time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased the way our team's playing because, like, you see, you know, the way we played against Edmonton, especially the two games at home that we won, and we held them to like limited shots and we didn't give up much, you know, and guys weren't, you know, even Zucchi's comment in the paper, like, hey, we all want to make plays, but there are certain times of the game where you just can't, you know, and you have to do certain things. And that's a sign that I'm looking for. Like, we're, you know, you really have to be responsible. You can't play the same way, you know, if it's 1-0 in the first period as opposed to 1-0 in the third period. You can't. You have to adjust the way you play.
Greg wants to know, World Juniors, obviously you guys are going to have some good representatives there, Ogren and who's going to be really good for Sweden, and I think Pert and Bankier made it, which yep. I think was a big surprise, but, you know, conversely, Lambos was obviously a disappointing cut. What were your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, it's disappointing that Lambos didn't make it, but you know what, he was there before, and you know, he's on a really good team in Winnipeg, and we'll have a chance at a Memorial Cup. So, you know, you're disappointed for the player. But the other guys that are going to represent their countries, it's great. And, you know, I'll be going up there just after Christmas to watch. And it's always it's a great tournament. It's amazing how much it's grown. And, you know, to have some prospects there is really cool.
As beat writers, our mentions are filled with two things: trade deadline and like the next hot prospect in your organization, right? And you have one in your backyard here with Brock Faber, and I know you had a chance to see him play. Like, what's your read on how he's playing, how he looks, and like, is he a guy that you could see here in the back end?
A couple months,
or tomorrow, or whenever that case may be. So,
yeah, no, Brock looks great. I saw him play last Friday, and yeah, he looked real good. I spoke to him yesterday, and busted his chops because they beat Wisconsin 7-1, and he had the turnover. So I had to bust his chops a little bit, but he's really good about it. And I just really like his game. He's, you know, his skating's really good, and just, he knows he has things that he's going to have to work on, but yeah, he's a really good player.
And he, I mean, frankly, if they win at all, I mean, you might only see him for a little bit, right? I mean, you know, yeah. That would take him right into early April, right before the playoffs.
Yep.
Emma wants to know, has anyone ever considered seeing what Greenway can do at center? We've actually seen him at center a little bit here. Yep. And Boldy as well. We haven't seen that much. Yeah. 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 I mean,
for either of them.
Yeah. I mean, would you ever consider maybe experimenting then?
No.
They're wingers. Yep.
They're wingers.
Interesting. Mark wants to know, have we changed your expectations on when prospects are going to be NHL ready? Rossi, Beckman, Walker, seems like we plan to be using them because of our cap situation, and they were all in Iowa when healthy.
No, they're going to be ready when they're ready. We're not going to rush them just because of our cap situation. We'll get other players. I think, but you know what? They all develop at different speeds, you know, and you know, one guy might be ready before the other guy, even though he's younger. Like, it's just different. So you have to treat everybody individually and give them what they need and be patient with them.
Yeah, as the GM, you have the pulse of the team as more than anybody else does. And you know, in Tampa, they're like, you know, when you're one player away, you have to be aggressive at the deadline and do that, and they've done that several times. And in your read of this team, like, do you feel like, how aggressive can you be or want to be at a deadline when you know, like, realistically, a view of your team of where they are in that championship arc and cycle with the cap situation that you know you're in?
I think that's the important thing, is being realistic. And, you know, we have two things to worry about. We have the present and the future. And we've got to be really cognizant of both and try to give our current guys what they need or what our, you know, what our team needs to, you know, to do well this year without sacrificing our future.
What's the latest with the family? So we see Liam a lot. Obviously, they're on break. How's it been watching him in your hometown and how the daughters?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome having him locally. And you know what? The kids are doing great. My daughter in New York is like, she's like living her best life. Every weekend, it's like, I'm at a rooftop club here, or I'm at a this for, you know, this thing or that thing. She's busy as hell, and she's loving it. My daughter Grace is going through her med school interviews right now, which is nuts. Like, I tried to answer a couple of her questions last night, and she was laughing at me. Liam's doing great at Hamlin, and Love having him working on game nights. And, you know, Lexi's crushing it at ASU, getting ready for lacrosse season. Yeah. And she's interning with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. Yeah, yeah. They're doing great. And Kara's still putting up with my crap, and we're getting ready for Christmas, and everybody will be home. So it'll be really exciting. I love it.
I was talking to Liam about his girlfriend yesterday. I said, instead of doing a father-son story, I want to do the that story.
Oh, like, that would be...
That'd be a great
article. That would be actually a great article.
Yeah. Can we reveal who he's dating or no? Or,
I don't think okay, so. Right, yeah, but it would really be a great
it really would
hockey
be.
Family yeah. story.
Like, right when you'd
have to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get permission. I did tell him, I'm like, at a minimum, I'm going to mention it in the father-son story.
Yeah.
He has a strong suit game, by the way.
He does.
He's got a strong suit game.
Trying to think. I thought I had something else for you. Oh, I did want to ask you. I'm like, were you a little miffed when I knew that your pro scouting meetings were in Tucson the other day? Or a little
spooked? I don't get miffed at that stuff.
But you had to be wondering what the hell.
Yeah, I thought you might have been down there. But no, the guys got together in Tucson. Yeah. And, you know, they do it. They do it around this time every year and just kind of, you know, go through our grading system and things like that, and you know, wants and needs and prioritizing things. And Chris Kelleher does a great job with our pro scouts, and Ray Shiro was down there with those guys. Yeah. And it's good for them to get together as a group. They're you know, the amateur scouts, pro scouts, like they all have their teams, you know. Mm-hmm. and Judd's the leader of one, Chris is the leader of the other, but then, you know, we'll have our midseason meetings in January where, you know, the two come together. And, you know, because I think it's important that both sides, you know, coexist. You know, one's not more important than the other. It and just that one time of year we can all be together and you know, get through a bunch of stuff.
And just so everybody knows, the inside joke there is, like, what are the chances? But the Patriot writers are staying at the same hotel in Tucson with the Wild pro scouts who are having meetings there. So a couple of the Patriot writers who would normally not be
Kelleher would have loved it.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I get this, like, text message that's just, like, a picture. It's this Minnesota Wild meetings. I'm like, well, I know that Billy was at the Board of Governors in Florida. Like, what the hell is going on in Tucson? So, had to do a little homework. Any other questions here?
Yeah, like, what are some of your best relationships among GMs in the league? Like, I know guys, like, you talk so much over trades or just at the meetings. Like, who's the guys you've kind of become closer with in this stage of your life and your career?
Yeah, God. You know what? Honestly, I have good relationships with all of them. They're all really good guys and helpful. I mean, we all want to get what we want, but you know, Tom Fitzgerald's a very close friend and has been for a long time. You know, Brad Treliving's become a really good friend. Kyle Dubas, Jarmo Kekäläinen, Billy Zito, Don Sweeney. Like, I honestly, Don Waddell, I could go on and on. Like, this, there's some of these guys I've known a long, long time. You know, they're just good people.
What's your record in pickleball against these guys?
You know, Julian's pickleball crazy. I've played pickleball twice, and once was with him.
Okay.
And I've played more than twice. I it's something I wish I could play more or got more into. But I think I know I'm 1-0 against Julian. There you go. So that's all that really matters.
That's pretty impressive. Who's your teammate? Was it doubles?
No, Jarmo. Oh, yeah, Jarmo, yeah. And I played against Julian and Joe Sakic, and Jarmo's a good player. Jarmo and Julian have played quite a bit against each other or with each other. Like, whereas, like, I think Julian travels into Columbus and they go play together. Like, I'm like, well, let's just go grab a steak and a couple beers or something. Like,
I don't. They had 60 days in the bubble to practice that in the hotel. They had a lot of time to do that, so that's probably where the
expertise. And I thought it was genius. I looking back, I should have done that, but
that's pretty cool. Lasty, any questions? You know, Lasty has opinions, though. He definitely has opinions.
I get my thumbs up, thumbs down texts from Lasty
before every trade. You say, "Hey, should I do this?"
They know, but the Lasty's opinion means a lot to me.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, hey, Billy, as always, appreciate it. It's got to be like your 10th time on this podcast.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like doing this. It's good casual conversation.
Well, appreciate it. And here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, thanks as always to Bill Guerin for joining Straight from the Source. He's been on a ton, and this is the first time that he did one with Joe Smith and myself. Hopefully you got a lot of information that you like. The Wild play the Chicago Blackhawks on Friday, then the Ottawa Senators on Sunday. Then they head to Anaheim and San Jose next week for back-to-back games before the Christmas break. I'll be on that trip. I think I mentioned in the open that I'll also be going to Arizona on Saturday to do some really cool stories and podcasts down there that will be in the Athletic Hockey Show next week. I am going to be covering the Arizona Coyotes Buffalo Sabres game and the Arizona Coyotes Montreal Canadiens game. I'm sitting down with Matty Nyes and his dad. I'm sitting down with potentially, it looks like, Austin Matthews' parents as well. I'm doing a podcast with Arizona Coyotes GM Bill Armstrong, Buffalo Sabres GM Kevin Adams, Tage Thompson, potentially some Montreal Canadiens as well. So lots of stuff that will be not only written in The Athletic in the coming days, but also podcasts that will be on next week's Athletic Hockey Show. And speaking of The Athletic Hockey Show, Red Wings head coach Derek Lalonde joined Sean Gentile and Max Boltman this week on The Athletic Hockey Show. And John Shannon, one of the great television producers, and then on the other side of the camera, insiders. It was our guest on the roundtable with Rob Pizzo, Jesse Granger, and myself on Wednesday. So check that out. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating and review. And by the way, if you don't subscribe to the Athletics NHL YouTube channel, do that at youtube.com/@@ The Athletic Hockey Show. Again, youtube.com/@TheAthleticHockeyShow, but use the at symbol. Get a new subscription to The Athletic for just $2 per month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Again, $2 a month for 12 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. And next week, Andrew Height, the Wild's Director of Team Operations and Player Relations, will be joining me on Straight from the Source. If I don't talk to you before, well, you'll hear from me before that, but if for some reason you don't listen to the podcasts in the upcoming days, have a happy holidays, everybody. Happy New Year and all of that good stuff. Talk to you soon, everybody.